You can finish us off, Keith, because I've heard you're very good at that.
Very good at that.
Really?
Not really. Yeah. Oh, sex. Right, okay.
can you open with that?
Welcome to the Pocket Gamer Podcast. It's episode number 267. I'm your host, James Gilmore. Joining me is Peter Willington.
Hi.
And Keith Andrew.
Hello.
Back with us this week in purely audio form. Because last week we went all video for a while, didn't we?
I noticed.
Yeah, you weren't here. You would have filled in that little blank space underneath the two of us where we're putting videos.
You could have put something else there. I could have put
a picture of your face.
No, I wouldn't put that up on people. A blow-up dummy or something. Or one of Pete's blow-up dummies that he has. You could have used one of those.
He usually sits on those to raise them up a bit so we can see him on camera. He's quite short in person.
They look really shocked, don't they? Always making a shocked expression. He's
fair, don't surprised. I would be.
Yeah, I even see what I do to them.
Exactly.
We've been out and about, haven't we? Have we all come back now from all sorts of bits and pieces?
My brain isn't back. My brain is not back.
No, Keith was at GDC, which is why he wasn't there last week for the video Twitch live stream thingy. So you've probably, I was going to say, have seen loads of games, but maybe...
No, you know what I did, actually.
Did you really?
I really did. And you will be so impressed. I went to the Yuki stand on the final day. Yuki, which for our listeners who don't know, is a UK trade body for games. And they represent a lot of developers. And they had loads and loads of developers there showing off their games. And I played some. And I didn't die. In fact, I was quite good at a few of them. And the developers were shocked.
Because of your reputation, which preceded I presume.
I did pre-warn some of them as well. I do not like playing games in front of developers. It's always embarrassing.
It is awkward, I agree.
If you die or you do something wrong, they feel like it's their fault, and then you know that it's your fault because you're just awful, and then the whole thing gets very embarrassing.
I don't feel that. When I die, I don't feel like they're going, oh, this is my fault. I think they're looking at me going, ah, noob. And like, because they know how to play the game because they invented it, and when they see other people doing it and failing, they're just like,
I watched a video of you from, I think it was from Gamescom, playing on that thing on Google Glass.
God, that.
And that game looked terrible. Looked absolutely terrible.
It looked like the future from 10 years ago.
it looked so painful watching you play that.
Yeah, cutting-edge technology used to do the most rudimentary, simple, crude game with a really bad touch interface. You can see me. I'm glad I had the video because you can see me, you know, swiping left and right on the side of the glass, and it's doing nothing. And I'm there going, swipe, swipe. Swipe. And it's like, well, this isn't this. Yeah, welcome to the future, guys. It's going to suck.
So I know, obviously, Keith, you've been out and about to San Francisco, whatever this GDC is, but I've been to the Indie Games Collective in London. I went after we recorded our live show, James.
Oh, really? Did you?
I did, yeah. I packed my bags and I went to London and I went to Indie Games Collective and saw a whole bunch of awesome indie games.
Ooh.
I know, right?
So like, I've just been sitting here playing games on my iPad like
this
normal.
This is what I was going to ask you. Why haven't you been out and about? Where's the most exotic place that you've been?
Well, my bathroom has a quite nice, like, terracotta wall. So that reminds me of the Mediterranean. So I went in there once or twice to, you know. So
there's some quite exotic damp growing on the wall.
Brush my teeth. Exactly. Tropical molds. I've rediscovered penicillin. It's been a productive week. Shut up. Just because I've been here doing a job and that.
I will tell you, I'm feeling quite sorry for myself. Because this time last year when I went, I caught a cold when I got back. And I was getting quite rough. And I thought, oh, it's the cold. And I thought, blah, blah, blah. No, it's not the cold. It's horrible, horrible jet lag that just is horrible. I'm in half an hour, I will want to sleep in a horrible fetal position. But then when it gets to about midnight, I will be wide awake and want to have a dance around Kylie Minogue.
That's generally the way. Well, if you do have the presence of mind to put a webcam up when you're doing that, then do share it with the world. We've got a Twitch channel now. Might as well use it for something.
I don't want to see that.
Oh, yes, the world demands Kylie Minogue midnight dancing from you, Keith. It's going to be a cracking show. And it's going to be a good show today as well. Loads of stuff coming up. A huge amount of new releases and a bunch of news as well. Let's do updates first, though. Right, Epoch 2, which is that robotic kind of gallery cover shooter thingy, has just come to Android. We thought the first one was all right, second one, all right, but it never quite nails it, this series, I don't think. It becomes very, very samey. It makes a good first impression, 5 or 10 minutes you play it, you're swiping left and right to dodge between cover, popping up, bam, 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 shoot the robots. The environments look quite good, some of the bosses are fun, but you get about half an hour in and, it gets a bit on the samey side. We gave it a bronze award, said it was okay. It's been out on iOS for a while, but now out on Google Play, £1.39 or $1.99. That's just the launch price, though. So if you want to grab it cheap, grab it now. If you're a Joe Danger Infinity player, you'll now be able to play some extra challenges on a daily basis, no less. There's a free update which has just appeared, and it gives you 12 new daily challenges, which are unlocked on a particular day of the week. Usually they revolve around winning medals and look at your high score and try and make sure you can beat that level's score, and you get big bags of coins for it. We liked this one quite a lot, gave it a silver award. It's pretty much the same as the first game, only everything's been shrunk down to a miniature size. Presented really well, though, and a quality stunt racer, which is what kind of filled the gap that Trials left, which is a gap that's going to change quite soon, which we'll be talking about a little bit later. Keith, in Windows Phone news...
Windows Phone.
Well, hold on. I'm going to have to hold on to something that there's news about Windows Phone. Go on.
I know, right. How monumental is this? Machinarium is now out on Windows Phone.
Oh, that's a good game.
It's a very good game. I bloody love this game. Back when it came out on the PC in like 2000 and oh, I don't know what it is, 9 or something. It's Amanita, the Czech designer's point-and-click adventure. Really beautiful, charmingly drawn thing. It came to iOS about a year or two later, first on the iPad, then on the iPhone. It's made its way to Android, and now it's out on Windows Phone.
I will tell you, sir.
Mm-hmm.
While I was on the other side of the world, we held one of our now legendary indie pitches.
Oh, yes.
And they're always a good gauge, actually, because people bring you games and 99.9.9.99% of them are on iOS.
Yeah.
And a few of them are on Android. But when you ask about platforms, I tell you more and more now, there was even a Windows Phone exclusive, but there were some other ones which were, you know, coming later on. I think there was a Windows 8 game as well, actually.
That's bold. Well, one of the pieces of advice we give is to make your game stand out from the crowd. So that's probably a good way of doing it.
Yeah, because there is no crowd.
It's on Windows Phone. They're like, what? Two of the judges fall off the chairs.
This is scandalous.
Well, no, this is a good thing now, because, I say, Machinarium is absolutely cracking. I love this game. And so it should be available on all platforms and microwave ovens and watches and everything. So, yeah, Windows Phone now. You can grab it for $4.49 or £3.49. It even has weird pricing, Windows Phone. Go figure. But out right now. Grab it. It's great. So we just talked about Joe Danger Infinity and how it kind of filled that Trials gap that was available on iOS. A few games had been released, like Moto Heroes, which was by Ubisoft originally, which was the same kind of thing, a stunt racer in 2D, but you controlled a 4x4 racer instead. But nothing had come along to fill that Trials gap properly. Well, now, Trials is coming along to fill that gap. Trials Frontier, specifically. It's been out on soft launch for a while. I think in Canada, I'm going to say. Maybe Australia as well. It's been out for about a couple of months. We did a little preview of it firsthand, got some footage. You can see it up on the site. Now, the studio behind it, Red Lynx, has announced the official worldwide release date. It's going to go live on April 10th. And that's coming to iOS first, and then Android sometime at a later date. I've played this. Have you played this, Peter?
I previewed it.
You previewed it?
At a Ubisoft event.
Right. Well, as we spoke, always good fun to preview when the developers are watching you.
Yeah.
Did you do a jump? Did you do a flip? And a,
I did jumps. I did flips.
Did you do a half Nelson?
I did all those things. I also ran out of energy multiple times.
But while you were there?
While I was there, and the person was just like, oh, wow.
Yeah.
And then like there was a little button, and they pressed it. They went, tap, 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 tap. And I was just like, oh, that's good. Like, how much do you think you've just put in there? And he was like, I don't know, like 30 quid.
Oh, God. Like, oh. Nice. And I assume that button comes with the game, right?
I imagine so. Right?
Yeah,
right.
Right, yeah, okay. Well, I mean, I played it for a bit of a preview as well. I got up to the point where it said your energy has run out, and then I stopped playing. It's just arguably a shame. The game itself is very, very pretty. It's done in a more cartoony style than the Trials games you're used to. Almost a little bit steampunky, weirdly, because it's set in a kind of post-apocalyptic future Mad Max-esque environment with an almost a Western slant to it. So you're going into these saloons and you're completing mini missions for like little girls with cowboy hats on and that, and they want you to do flips and that gets them candies through some bizarre twist of logic. It controls very well, handles like a Trials game, like you would think it would, which is nice, felt very natural playing it, looks great. But I imagine people are going to roll their eyes at the IAP freemium energy system stuff. You'll be able to find out for yourself properly on April 10th, and we'll give you the review once it actually goes live. I imagine they might throw that at you, Peter, mightn't they?
Oh, I'm genuinely actually really excited to play. I really hope they've balanced the energy mechanic out a little bit, because that it was ages ago actually that I went to go and see it, so they have definitely had time, and it was looking really good when I went to go and play it. So
yeah.
I'm really genuinely excited for this one.
Well, I hope so. It has the potential to be great. It just depends on how, like you say, they manage the energy system. We shall see. Now, of course, the big news this week is that the Pocket Gamer podcast has been bought by Facebook.
Well, I mean, you
might have seen the news.
It was a sensible decision.
Yeah, well, I mean, some people
got gasping then. I wonder what the hell you were going to say.
Some people were a little bit cross about it because, you know, they've got a vested interest in the site. And now they're worried that every time they listen to the podcast, there's going to be like adverts and stuff.
I mean, at the end of the day, you know, thanks so much for listening, but sod you all.
Yeah, yeah, we appreciate your support and getting us to where we are. But now I'm going to go and buy an island. So
I just have a thought,
screw
actually.
You guys?
I just feel like I should say that Facebook is much better than Google Plus.
Now you mention it, yeah, and it's tons better than Bebo, and MySpace.
Yeah, and Justin Bieber as well. It's better than all of those.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, brilliant. So yeah, everyone's heard at this point that Facebook has acquired Oculus, the Oculus Rift technology, the VR helmet that has been developed for PCs and hinted at coming to mobile and all other sort of stuff. It was a kickstarted project, so people chucked about, I don't know, what do they earn? About 400, a couple of million, something like that, usually, that's what it is. People crowdfunded it, they were very excited, mostly PC gamers, to be fair, who are hoping they're going to be able to play Half-Life 3 whenever it appears in full glorious 3D, and it was going to be a nice little PC tech that people liked. They had been talking about maybe bringing it to mobile as well. This is ever since John Carmack, the guy behind ID Software and Doom and all that, he took over the project to work on it exclusively. Lots and lots of positive noises were being made about it. Notch was going to be doing it for Minecraft as well. Minecraft 3D, Oculus Rift, and everything was looking cracking. Then we woke up yesterday to discover that Facebook had bought it for $2 billion, which is that's a fair bit of cash. And as you can imagine, the internet reacted in a very calm and measured fashion, weighed all of the pros and cons, and came to a nice, resolved, and considered decision.
I love it when that happens.
I like that too as well. It's good, isn't it? So there's not really much of a story here.
This is going to sound like a pun. Can I have an Oculus rant?
Oh, it's going to sound like a pun because it is one. Go on, rant on, baby. You've been covering this on PG Biz, haven't you?
I've got three things to say.
Okay.
Three things. First one is, when you think about it, actually, $2 billion means that it's, a tenth of the value of WhatsApp. I don't know whether that's good or bad. Because Facebook obviously bought WhatsApp the other week for 19, I think it was.
I suppose it's unproven tech at this point.
Secondly, all of those, I think this is quite a nice little reality check. All of those Kickstarter folk who are complaining, saying, where's my interest gone or whatever, that might take them to realize that when you invest in Kickstarter, you actually have no say or insight or control or whatever in the thing. It's a donation, effectively. You're not. Yep. You don't own that thing. You don't have any control over it. So, you know, lesson learned. But mainly, I was being slayed by American journalists, actually, because they were all. It was all this kind of. It broke kind of just after football, and so
well, you know, got to let the final goal happen.
The final goal. Right, release the news. All these Americans were kind of overnight posting all these. Either it's terrible news. It's going to be full of Farmville games, 3D Farmville, which is quite interesting. Or no, it's going to be fine. It's going to be exactly how it was going to be before, but it'll just have more money. And neither of which I think is anywhere close to the truth. I find it really odd that for me, going to these events over the last few years, Oculus has been at almost every single one of them.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're there in the corner, and you go along, they get big queues, and each time they turn up, it's slightly better than the last time. Mm-hmm. And people come away and they go, oh, it's a little bit better this time. When did you see it? Oh, I saw it that time. Oh, it's better than that now. You should go and see it. For me, it just seemed entirely obvious that they were never going to release the thing. It was always just a tech demo. They were showing off the technology, just like Gaikai did, that it works. And that, believe us, it works. Look, it works, it works, it works. Every single event, look, it works even better now, even better. They wanted to be bought out. And it was obvious it was never going to launch. They were never going to launch it. They were waiting to be bought out. And now they've been bought out, it's not going to be launched either. There'll be some VR tech that Facebook put out. Probably, you know, it will be some kind of media device with games on it, with Facebook on it. And maybe they'll keep the Oculus name, maybe they won't. But it won't be whatever we're looking at now. They're not going to put that out. And I don't think it'll be anytime soon either. I think it's a future investment for a company that has proved it can do this kind of technology, because they just kept going to events saying, look, we can, honest, look, use it. So I just find the whole reaction really, really odd. It's as if everyone thinks it's going to be released next week with a Facebook sticker on the side now, and it's going to be exactly what it was. And the whole thing, I can't understand why Notch has cancelled Minecraft, but I can't understand why he said he was going to make it for it anyway. I don't understand why any developers said they were going to make anything for Oculus.
The PC stuff, because it is rooted essentially in PC. I know people have talked about bringing it to mobile, but essentially that's what it was. That's where the excitement came from. And if you look online, you can see a lot of people who received the early dev kits and stuff playing PC games. There's videos up of people playing Skyrim and all that sort of stuff. And, you know, people got very excited by that, going, no, that 3D Skyrim, which, you know, maps your head movements and stuff, this could be really cool.
But look what happens when similar companies launch things on their own like that. So a far smaller thing is Ouya. Look at that. They launched that and it hasn't gone well. And before that, he had OnLive. And that didn't go well.
Nope.
These companies, they're forced to launch eventually. I mean, actually, Ouya couldn't really do anything because it was Android anyway. They weren't looking to get bought up, to be fair. But OnLive definitely was, as was Gaikai. And the problem is, if no one buys them up quick enough and they have to launch these things, then they inevitably fail because no one's heard of the company. No one wants to risk doing this, that, and the other. Even they have games behind them, it's not going to succeed. You know, if Oculus had launched on its own, it wouldn't have succeeded.
It would always have been an incredibly niche product for sort of what you would consider hardcore, inverted commas, PC gamers wanting that extra level of immersion. It's not a practical technology like 3D TVs, which require you to wear glasses. It's not a practical technology which you can sit down and enjoy with the family and your kids are going to use.
And this is the equivalent of a complete new company who'd never made a TV before coming along and demoing years ago a 3D TV and saying, look, we can do it. It's that's what Oculus was. I don't quite get why anyone thought it was any different. It seemed obvious to me. I might be sounding like an idiot, but it seems obvious to me that it was never going to launch. It was always just there as a, it can be done, please have faith in us, please buy us,
and we'll
get out as quickly as we can.
Yeah. Yes. And if Facebook has acquired it, now the question then becomes, are they planning to do what some people fear, which is, oh, they're going to release like crappy Facebook games and then put them in 3D, which seems a bizarre thing to do. Exactly.
I don't think that's even possible. I just generally see it as it's a technology purchase. They've bought them because they've proved they can do this. And whether or not they ever actually launch a VR headset, they now have the technology and the patents or whatever is associated
with it.
That's
the thing.
To do
it's the tech, isn't it? They now own it and they can sort of sit on it. And then at some point in the future, because they're always talking about the idea of looking forward to future platforms, like at some point in the future, this becomes relevant. They can whip out the IP and say, this is ours. and do what they want to do with it. But
the problem is that everyone only sees Facebook as the blue social network thing, and that's not what they are. They're a big company now that is looking to keep the growth going, and they're going to carry on buying people, and they might not necessarily do anything with them. They bought a WhatsApp, and I don't think they'll really do much with WhatsApp, but it gives the impression of having fingers in many pies, and it keeps their investors happy and so forth. And you know, who knows what they will do with this, but it's just the reaction has just been from people who I think are usually on the ball about this kind of thing. I was quite surprised that I was on a different page to everyone last night, and that everyone else was saying, oh, it's going to come out and it's going to be blue and they're going to have a big F on the side and it'll run bejeweled. And, you know, I just thought it seems really odd. And actually, the key side to that was at GDC, where Sony's Project Morpheus had the press. I mean, I didn't get to use it because we're just mobile press. What do they care about us? Yeah. But everyone else who I knew who went, who had the special blue ticket you had to get, was raving about that for the rest of the week and saying how much better it was than Oculus. And you know, whether or not VR is the future or not, it's certainly a nice addition to PS4. It's quite, you know, that's and the benefit they have is that you have that system and it'll be wrapped up in that ecosystem, and it'll be
much,
you know,
like them buying Gaikai and turning it into PlayStation Now.
Exactly. And I was really surprised actually that Microsoft didn't buy Oculus, convert it, and put it on an Xbox. I'd be surprised if Microsoft didn't have a think about that.
Well, we've talked about the Kickstarter bubble bursting for a while. Peter, like, we always go on about the fact that Kickstarter is a thing where you put your money down and then it's sort of gone and you have to trust they're going to do what you want with it. We've had outrages before where games haven't been delivered on time, or in some cases not delivered at all. And people get very up in arms and they're like, okay, I've paid my money, where's my stuff? And the point of this is, like, you sort of have paid your money and you've got the thing they promised you, which was at some point you'll get a preview copy of it and you might get like a dinner with the developer or something. And that's it. Can you understand why people are getting upset about this? Do you really think this is a genuine betrayal? Or
I think it's because the way that a lot of Kickstarters get run and a lot of the lingo that is thrown around. There was actually a really good talk, funnily enough, actually, to come back to this IGC conference that I went to.
Oh, yeah.
They did a talk about how to run a Kickstarter. And one of the things that he was talking about is, you know, you've got to make people feel as if they're invested in you, you know, like they are supporting you, like they are part of the project in some way. And I think a lot of the rhetoric that goes around Kickstarter is, yeah, come and support independence, come and support people making the stuff that you want to see, yeah! And really the reality is, hey, come and give us some money so we can do this thing that we want to do. Like, that's actually the reality of it. So I do understand why people think that they are owed something by these people. And I think it wouldn't be so bad if Kickstarter kept referring to things as, like, pre-orders.
Yeah,
you know, like, people don't complain so much about that.
No, you're right. And there is something in the language, and I've seen other people discussing this, that they do often refer to backers as investors. And it gives you this misappropriation of responsibility where you get the impression you are an investor and therefore you have certain rights and entitlements, and you're not.
And you, I mean, in some regards, like, you are an investor, but not in the traditional sense.
Not in the legal strict sense.
Not in the legal sense.
No.
You're an investor in somebody else's idea. And that's fine, but you don't then get to make the decisions as to what that idea eventually turns into.
Sure. And so, people have gotten, not just the investors, inverted commas, have got upset about it. So we said that Notch was making Minecraft for it. He has since pulled out, saying that basically he thinks Facebook is creepy. And people have then reacted to this, specifically Cliff Bleszinski of Gears of War fame, has turned around and described him as a pouty kid who's taking his ball and going home.
Now, didn't Notch describe it all as creepy on a different social network that does roughly the same sort of thing?
Oh, what, on that Twitter?
I can understand that Facebook's business practices aren't necessarily always the best, and some of their data protection's a bit naff.
The ad farming's a bit weird as well.
Sure, but ultimately, it's very popular and most people seem to be totally cool with it.
People of our generation, Facebook's not cool anymore, though.
No, like, it's not. Like,
use Facebook. It's for, like, 20-somethings and 30-somethings. The kids aren't interested.
No, they're on their Bieber books.
They're on their Google Hangouts and their Twitters and that, aren't they?
Yeah.
Bloody kids.
Yeah.
So, and then people have suggested that's another reason why they purchase Oculus. You know, you need to anticipate the next big thing, because at this point, Facebook has kind of got all the followers it's ever going to get. It's, in some ways, it's reached saturation, and now the kids are going for something else, and they need to find ways of staying relevant. So this might be a way of doing that.
Well, it's just it's really hard to make money from Facebook. And considering like most people look on their mobile now, it's really hard to make money from the mobile one.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely true. So we'll have to see if Oculus ever does actually appear in any real gaming form, or whether it just will be tucked away as a piece of tech they have and emerge at a later date. We shall see. In slightly more relevant gaming news to us, an actual game that's coming out very soon, Monument Valley, which is a game that you've played, Keith, with your very own hands.
Did I talk about it? You did
talk about it, and I'm about to play it because I just downloaded it because it's appeared on the iOS account.
Very pretty.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. It's appeared on our account because it's just got a proper release date. It is coming out on April the 3rd, which is cracking news because it looks really beautiful. If you haven't seen it before, it's kind of inspired by these Escher paintings, the ones with the staircases everywhere, and you have to guide a little chappie around a bunch of ledges and stairs and kind of do puzzles and push buttons in order to change the environment and whatnot. It's developed by the same guys who did Whale Trail, which didn't prove particularly financially successful, but did look very beautiful, and it's carried through to this game. It really looks lovely. We've had a little look at it. It's going to be out iOS only, I think, on April the 3rd. I don't know if it's coming to Android or not, but definitely keep your eyes out for that one. I'm going to play it this week and probably talk about it next week, and we can compare notes, Keith, and see if it turns out to be as good as all that. The other thing I mentioned quickly is that Warhammer 40K Storm of Vengeance, it's called, has been pushed back. It was supposed to come out this week, but it's now coming out on April the 3rd. I'm only really mentioning this because we looked at the news and went, which Warhammer game is this? We had a discussion where it's like, that Warhammer game's been cancelled. And we were all like, what, Space Hulk? We're like, no, that one's already out. All right, well, what, 40K Armageddon? So, no, that's not coming until later in the year. Okay, then. Space Wolf? 40K Space Wolf? No, that hasn't come out yet. That's coming out in the summer. There are so many 40K games coming out at the moment.
Yeah.
It's mental.
It's a shame I can't say any of this on record. I was talking to some developers recently about, and they're in talks with Games Workshop, and they're talking to me and sort of saying, actually, those guys are really, really keen to be doing lots and lots of stuff at the moment.
No kidding. And they're all by different studios as well. They're handing out the licenses like left, right, and center.
Yeah, and as far as I can tell, the licenses themselves that they're looking to bring back are really bizarre. Like, obviously, I can't mention any names, but there are some games that you would have to be a Games Workshop fan of at least 20 years and not be into, like, 40K or Warhammer to even know about. Like, you'd have to be a super hardcore Games Workshop fan to even have any sort of reminiscence or nostalgia for some of these. It's really odd that they're doing it, because for such a long time, there weren't any good, like, Warhammer games whatsoever. And then just recently with mobile and everything like that, it just seems to be this spate of them coming out. And some of them are pretty darn good, like with Warhammer Quest, and then some of them are a bit tepid with that.
Yeah, the Space Hulk came out, it was all right, but it ended up being basically a bit samey and didn't turn out to be as good as it could be. But the quick rundown, you've got Warhammer 40K Armageddon, which is a hex-based strategy game. That's coming in 2014 by a studio called Slytherin. You're supposed to have 30 single-player missions, units and all that. You've got Warhammer 40K Space Wolf, which is it's a mashup of like a CCG card game and a turn-based strategy game, so you're going to be fighting Chaos Space Marines and that as Space Wolves. You've got 40K Carnage by Roadhouse Interactive, which is a side-scrolling beat-em-up with Space Marines battering orcs and that. You've got Storm of Vengeance, which is by Utechnics, a lane defense action strategy game. That's the one that's been pushed back until next week, so that'll be coming out very soon. So it looks like Plants vs. Zombies, only you've got, you know, a Space Marine or whatever. There's one called Eisenhorn Xenos, which is a 40K game that doesn't have you playing as a Space Marine instantly. You're an Inquisitor. And apparently it's based on some books by one of the novel guys.
The Inquisitors are part of the Imperium.
Yeah, yeah. And apparently you'll be fighting aliens, and that it's just like, and this is all coming out like this year, and one of them next year. It's apparently a massive resurgence in the popularity. So if you are a fan, then 2014 is a good year for you. And obviously we'll keep you informed of all of them, and we'll look at the upcoming one, Storm of Vengeance, next week. About this week, Boom Beach is here for real all over the world. It's covered in a lot of boomy beaches. If you're not familiar with the franchise, this is Supercell's next game after Clash of Clans, the third only game they've ever released on iOS, and it is a bit like Clash of Clans, but not completely. I'm not going to talk loads about it because Peter's been playing it over the past few weeks, and he knows more about it than I do. So we're going to discuss that a bit later, but it's free to download right now. If you like.
How are they going to make any money?
I know, Clash of Clans bombed so hard.
When will they learn?
Don't know what they've been thinking, yeah. So if you like Clash of Clans, this might be worth a look. We'll give you a bit of a walkthrough a little later on, but yeah.
I have an exclusive on this.
Oh, do you? Oh, brilliant.
Do you know what?
Go on, what?
Supercell, there were some people from Supercell on my plane home.
Okay.
And here's just a bit of an insight into the lives of the rich and famous now. They did a lot of stretching in the morning when we all woke up.
Mm-hmm. is that what the rich do with their millions?
Yeah, they were doing stretches.
They practiced plane yoga.
I didn't know what they were doing, but they were stretching. Mm-hmm. They'd been asleep. Yards in front of them.
Well, the rich can afford to sleep, you see. We have to work through the night.
Could have taken their wallets, couldn't I?
They were probably down in the holding compartment, weren't they? For their size.
Oh, stupid guys!
Potential damage. You could throttle an alligator with this wallet, put it away. That's not getting through, no. Also out this week, Tiny Space Adventure, which is an iPhone and iPad game. I just played this for a little hands-on for App Spy. It's cute. It's kind of a pop art styly block-coloured thing. You are a little spaceman who's mainly going through little doors. Now, you know those bits in episodes of Scooby-Doo where they're in a corridor with loads of doors and they, like, run being chased by a ghost and they go into one door and then they come out the other door and then they go through that door and they go through a different door and left and right and left and right. It's kind of like that, in so much as, you know, you've got a screen and you're looking at a bunch of different doorways on space, on the moon or whatever. You know, space, it's how you stand on space. Careful not to fall off space, though. If you fall off space, then it's game over.
Have you been on space? No, I've not been on space.
No, but I hear it's spongy. So it's got a load of little black doors and you kind of wander through them. So you'll go through the door and then you'll suddenly emerge in another door somewhere around the screen. And then you have to go through a different door and again you'll pop up in a different part. So the game is all about learning which door goes where and then operating switches to turn laser beams off so you can get through the pathways and then knock blocks and activate bridges and all that sort of stuff. So it's about getting to the exit by remembering where you've been, a kind of pattern recognition thing. It's pretty enough. I haven't played it a lot, did it for about 15 minutes. It's okay. 69p99 cents. We'll have to see if it turns out to be any good later on. We will probably review it. Something that Peter and I did on the stream yesterday was have a go on Scuba Diver Adventures.
That was really good, and I'm so glad that it's coming out really soon. It's out tomorrow, isn't it? It's out today, in fact, when you're listening, because that was the scheduled...
Yes, it's out right now, only it's not.
Oh.
So it was planned to be released today. Unfortunately, the game is about deep sea diving, and one of the things you do in the game is... go and discover a plane wreckage from a passenger liner and then go in and start looking for the black box. If you've been following current news, given the Malaysian aircraft incident, they decided, probably wisely, that if they release something like that, people might turn around and say, hang on a minute, guys, isn't this a little bit distasteful at the moment?
Mm-hmm. And do you know what? Like, we do give Chilengo a good ribbing every once in a while, but I think that is a really nice gesture. Even if it isn't necessarily completely needed, it is a nice
thing to see Chillingo going, we can kind of hold this off for a little bit longer.
They're just being careful, and you know, that's understandable given the sensitivities and circumstances and whatever. We played it for a bit. It looked very pretty. You can actually see it on the Apps by Twitch feed. If you go back and have a look at the Twitch channel, or if you look on the AppSpy channel as well, we play it for about 10-15 minutes. Very good looking game, slow pace, free to play. I think it's going to be pushed until next month, so it will appear. There'll just be a little cooling off period until it's not quite so, you know, headline worthy. However, one thing I did play yesterday, and I'll talk about this later because this is my little game of the week, is Clark, which is a robot game in which you're controlling a little wandering droid fellow. Think almost like Wally, only with four legs instead of tank tracks. And you're guiding him around an environment and moving blocks around. It's an isometric puzzler. I say I'll talk about it more later. Looks really pretty. This might be the one, I think, to get this week. It's £2.99 for $1.99. I will give you more information soon. What else have we got? A reimagining, or rather a repurposing, of an old adventure, Little Big Adventure, which, if you are a point-and-click fan from back in the day, like we're talking 1994, I think?
Yeah, properly back in the day.
Yeah, this was an isometric point-and-click adventure with a 3D edge, so the little main character was kind of rendered in 3D, very crude 3D, but nonetheless. And it had some very hokey-looking 3D cutscenes and whatnot, which put me in mind of, remember the original version of Worms? They did a very short cutscene at the beginning of that, and it was in slightly hokey 3D, and it made me think of that in a kind of sort of way.
Oh, the old days.
But again, we played this on the stream, and I did it for about 10 minutes. It shows its age. I'll give it that. Now, I think it is beloved, and having a look on the Pocket Gamer story, it's got loads of retweets and mad Facebook likes, so obviously there is still a community who fondly remembers this game. Having played it, I don't know how well this is going to translate, certainly to younger audiences who've never played it before. I think this might be lost on them, because it's a bit yanky to control, and it's a bit slow, and it looks kind of old. We were talking about this on the stream as well, the fact that many developers now are emulating old games from the 8-bit and 16-bit era, because pixel art's become incredibly trendy, and pixel art ages quite well. Even if you're young and you're not used to it or anything, you can look back on it and still find it attractive and kind of go, oh, there's a kind of crude, you know, beauty to that. This, not so much. When the very early days of 3D doesn't age particularly well.
This is from a period where people were still thinking, voxels might be a thing we can make a 3D game out of.
Yeah, and I know, like, certainly I like a bit of point and click. You actually like point and click, don't you, Keith? You're for the Broken Sword franchise. You like
that
stuff.
Oh, yes.
Did you ever dabble with this one? Was this in your wheelhouse?
No.
Oh, okay. That's that line of conversation shut down then.
I've never taken to any beyond Broken Sword and Beneath Steel Sky. They were the only ones.
Oh, okay. So you stuck with the Revolution.
Only ones.
Oh, for...
They're the only good ones.
Right. I'll let that slide, because, you know, you're not really a gamer, so...
You can't knock a script from Revolution. They're the only ones who get it.
Oh no, I'm not saying that they're not good. They're great games.
But, get it. They, it's the humour, isn't it? It's all about humour, and they're just the right side of funny. Everyone else either goes too far one way or too far the other, and they're really boring.
Schaefer doesn't tickle you then? Not a Monkey Island fan?
No.
That's too far, is it?
It's too far. It's too far.
I see.
I did try numerous times, and I like to try, but like in a similar kind of way with Sam and Max and all these things, I always found a bit too...
What about Longest Journey or Dreamfall or Siberia or Amazon or...
Boring.
I'm already not laughing, so they're clearly rubbish. Chuck them all in the bin. I don't know why they wasted their time.
I want to go to Paris. You know, that's why I put Broken Sword. And in, you know, fall. What? When I was in Paris at Christmas, I was walking around thinking, this looks just like Broken Sword.
I am totally George Stobart, and this is
somebody give me an adventure to go on.
Wandering around like kicking on doors and tapping walls.
I'm
and
more
stuff.
The French reporter. That's more
crushing bullets under doors and whatnot. Yeah. Right, okay, so this game, Little Big Adventure, if you're into it and you remember it from back in the day, then probably you're the target audience for this. Anyone new coming to it, I don't know how much they're going to like it. I felt a little bit, even I felt a bit alienated playing it, going, oh, this is old. You can see a smidgen of it on the AppSpy stream. It's out right now, £2.49 or $3.99 if you fancy taking a punt. We've also talked about Facebook Games, Facebook's acquisitions. Game of Thrones Ascent has just come from Facebook to iPad. So we're uniting two things that we adore here. From my point of view, Facebook Games, which I love so much. And for you, Keith, Game of Thrones, which you love so much. So we're kind of united in mutual disgust over this release.
Yeah.
Clearly, they've ported it over right now because if you're a fan of the show, then season four is about to kick off within a week or two.
As if they've made four seasons of this.
They actually have, and everybody loves it. So there. You can play it right now. It's a Kongregate game, and it's taken off in a big bad way, probably because of the popularity of the show. Apparently, they've redesigned the interface to obviously incorporate your touchscreen touches and taps and slides and all of that nonsense. The actual game itself, you play as a noble guy during an time of upheaval, so it's happening while the show is going on, sort of. You can choose which house you want to pledge your, pledge yourself to, the Stark house because you like wolves, or the Lannisters, or whatever. Complete quests and build up your kind of nobility, the strength of your own house.
I've got an important question about this. A serious question about this. About the development of this and so forth, and what they're looking to achieve, and a really important question.
I doubt there are boobies, no.
Have they stopped it being poo?
What, the game or the series?
Anything with those three words in the title.
Fine, yes, all right.
Well, hold on, no. You may not like Game of Thrones, but there is one thing with those three words that is very...
Yes, you've got me on this one, yeah. Yes. I admit, I can see where you're going.
Yes, true, and I'll be getting to the lawsuit in a moment. So, yeah, you can download this game for free right now, Game of Thrones Ascent. Let's move on to a section that has absolutely nothing to do with what we just talked about, all right?
Come sit upon my throne of games.
Yes, here we are again in the chamber wherein lies the throne of games. Throne of games. Throne of... That sounds... Throne of games?
What would we actually do if we did get the lawsuit through the door?
I don't... Well, first of all, I don't know what you're referring to.
Exactly.
And second of all, I think we would have precedence because I'm fairly confident we came first.
Really?
Okay. Yeah.
Yes, because
my memory is not that good.
Because that TV series has only been running for about a day and a half, so I'm sure we'll be fine.
Oh, yeah. I wish.
Well,
it has.
No, actually, we'll just do it. We'll claim copyright of it. We'll pull a King. We'll be like, yeah, Candy Crush, like Candy. We own Candy.
Oh my God.
Retroactively,
oh my God.
Own
could
Candy.
We totally do that?
We could totally say we retroactively own the words Game, Throne, and the conjunctive of. Yes, we own all bits of that because we say so, really.
Yeah,
we'll fight this.
You're going to be rich. Why did we not think of this before?
I know, it's genius and completely morally above board.
Should
Brilliant.
Do that before this goes out, or someone else will nick the idea.
Let's get our best minds on it.
Copyright Pocket Gamer Podcast. Nice. Okay. So we've all been playing games this week in a rare break in tradition. We'll start off with Peter, who is going to tell us about the big Supercell release. Go on. Talk to us, Peter.
It is, isn't it? Boom Beach is the brand new one from Supercell. It's their third swing at the bat, and it's very, very good. Initially, at first blush, it feels a lot like Clash of Clans. It does. You make resources, you earn them, and then you create soldiers, and then you go to war with them, and that's Clash of Clans, isn't it, really?
And then you do some waiting.
And you do some waiting. There is a lot of waiting. Mm-hmm. There's a lot more waiting this time around because you can't have multiple builders, unlike in Clash of Clans. So whereas in their previous game, you could do two actions. You could upgrade two things at once. In this one, you can only upgrade one thing at once, or at least one building. You can also start creating statues and upgrading your actual troop levels. That's something you do get allowed to do.
what's the big difference in terms of presentation and whatnot? Because previously Clash of Clans is all like gods and this Nordic thing. Mm-hmm. What's the theme of Boom Beach?
So Boom Beach is a lot more 1940s American portrayal of going to World War II.
Right.
That sort of the card in the hat, the cigarette, the look into the camera with a smile, it will be home before.
It's very poetic.
It is, really actually. Good. Well, I've spent a huge amount of time with the game, so I'm really familiar with it now. So it's got that style to it. It's definitely a lot more cartoony, though. It's got that Clash of Clans, even though it's quite violent, what's being portrayed, essentially. Yeah. War. When you die, a little ghost comes out, and each of the little soldiers in each of the buildings look dinky. They look like they could be little toys, and hopefully they will be at some point, because I'll probably collect them.
Don't encourage them.
I'm enjoying the game, though, James, and I would like to show my increasing support of it by buying plastic.
You need your money?
I know, they really, really don't. They really don't. Well, I thought it was funny, because you say the World War II similarities, because obviously it's a militaristic game this time around. The thing that also struck me is that, at least as much as I've played, the reason the game's called Boom Beach is because you operate a little island and all your enemies are located on different islands, and then you go and attack them by doing a landing craft thing. And you essentially do that bit. You do the Normandy landings every time. You storm the beach.
It's that. It's got a bit of Vietnam era sort of look to it. It's set in a jungle. Well, it's set in a tropical archipelago?
Arpeggio.
Arpeggio.
that's a piano thing.
That's all of those things. But the way that it differs mechanically, you've got to spend about half an hour, 45 minutes with the game before you actually start to realise that it is a little bit different. Mm. You set your troops from the beach, so they rock up in these boats, and then they start to attack enemy encampments, and they fire and blast at them. And you realise eventually that pure strength isn't just going to get you through all of these battles. You've got to have some sort of technical nuance as well. So each troop type has a type of building that they are most effective at, and also that they a type of weaponry that they are weak against. So you need to take those things into consideration. And they will automatically attack the closest structure, not necessarily the closest structure that makes sense for them.
Right.
And so you need to start directing them around. The way you do this is you get flares, and it's definitely the best part of the game that's kind of been improved over Clash of Clans. You have this gunboat that's kind of sitting off on the beach and is completely invulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
And you can fire a flare at a building, and you can go, and that's basically saying, no, everybody go there, everybody sort this out. You can also fire shells from the beach, which takes out, you know, these defensive structures. It really cripples them.
Mm-hmm.
That's the plan, at least. So you can guide your troops around much more effectively. Whereas, and I said this in the review, which has just gone up on Pocket Gamer, unlike Clash of Clans, where it was very much like herding cats, you know, you had to kind of make some sort of estimations as to where your troops would be going. With this one, you can have a lot more say on where people go and what people are doing.
Right.
So there's more sort of strategic depth there. There's also statues that you can build. There's this huge series of islands that you can explore and keep on expanding. One of the things that's been taken away is the chat room, which I know that is a bit of a point of contention for Clash of Clans players, but it's a small change, and I get the feeling that eventually it's going to come back in.
Right.
I think it's really good. I think it's the next step forward for people who really liked Clash of Clans but wanted something a little bit deeper. It's not going to convince the sort of boring people that look at that consistently argue that Clash of Clans isn't a real game. It's not very exciting. It's not very strategic. There's nothing you have to do. Like the really boring, dull people who just like trot this one idea out all the time. It's not going to convince
70% of the listeners.
It's not going to convince those people, because those people are close-minded to the idea. And unfortunately, they're going to miss out on a really, really good game. Because genuinely, this is part of, and this was, you know, a big prediction of mine, this is part of free-to-play games in 2014 being far more exciting than they've ever been, and actually offering experiences that are far closer to what we traditionally think of as core, premium games.
So this is, it's not perfect, it's not a huge step forward, but it's enough of a step forward to take it into a different league, I would say. And yeah, it's really exciting. It's really, really good.
Fair enough. Well, I played it a bit on the stream, and it was nicely presented and everything, as much as I could see. And
looks
it looks pretty. It does look pretty. It feels a lot like Clash of Clans to me, but I haven't played it as much as you. I think Mark did a cover of it as well, a little preview, and he, I think, was perhaps less enthused by it than you were, but then you are more sympathetic to the whole free-to-play thing.
That surprises me, James.
Really? It doesn't surprise me. Not in the slightest. So, yeah, there might be some differences of opinion on this. What you can do, though, is if you've decided you're going to play it, or if you're already playing it right now, you can head on over to Pocket Gamer and you will discover not only a review of it and not only preview videos, we've also put up a big tips guide, 22 things that you need to know to start you off, which will turn you into the bestest Boom Beach player that there ever was.
We've done something otherly awesome, haven't we? I probably should have pimped that, because I've
You've done an ub, haven't you?
I've done an ub. So we have these things called game hubs, and they are basically huge silos of content for one specific game. And I'm the hubs editor, which is a really weird job to have, because essentially you just kind of stick with one game for a huge amount of time. We've just done Boom Beach, and we've
Boom
launched
Beach?
It.
What game's that? What's
we launched
Tell
it yesterday.
Me about Boom Beach.
Yes. Oh, you want to hear about Boom Beach? Well, just rewind 5-10 minutes.
Just go to the Pocket Gamer Boom Beach Hub.
Yeah, so hubs.pocketgamer.co.uk/boom-beach.
Yeah.
That's really really easy to get to. So, yeah, just go to the pocketgamer.co.uk front page. There's a drop-down menu at the top of the page, and you'll see hubs, and you can click on it and go and have a look and join the community, because...
That's what it is, mainly, isn't it? A community thing. So we've got fun stuff up there. There'll be articles up there most days, and you can go and chat about other Boom Beach things with like-minded Boom Beach players. That's what these things are for.
We'd like to meet Boom Beach people.
Exactly. Yeah. Go get your chat on. Data Boom Beacher. Fantastic. All right, then. Well, I've been playing Clark. So, what is Clark? Says nobody at all. Clark is an isometric puzzle game in which you take control of a little robot who is trying to move around a complex and, from what I can understand from what I've played so far, get involved with a party. Like, the party theme runs, because I started playing it yesterday again on the stream, and I introduced myself to some dancing robots who were like, yeah, let's get the party on, and there was no electricity, so they couldn't, so I needed to go and do some stuff. Having pushed on a bit further, I did a hands-on video for AppSpy, which is just about to go up. The party theme runs. I keep running into these dancing robots, and it's really, really charming. The main kind of core of the game is you're guiding him around a grid-based floor, so you move forwards, backwards, left and right. It's on a diagonal, but it controls really tightly, actually. If you just tap once, then he'll move one square forward, or you can just hold it and he'll move around normally. He has a little tractor beam control, which, like the portal gun in Portal, you can just hold it and then grab objects, pick them up, move them around. Not the portal gun, sorry, like the anti-gravity gun in Half-Life. I'm getting my Valve references confused there. So he can pick up blocks and then move them to a different location and put them down again. In doing so, you're obviously create yourself a problem, in as much as you can no longer turn around in tight corridors, because obviously you've got this big block in front of you and it won't allow you to do so. So a lot of the logic puzzling is based around picking them up and turning in the right place, positioning yourself so you can maneuver the block onto the pad on the floor, which will then activate a little energy stream which will move further down the environment, and perhaps trigger a laser, maybe turn it off, maybe open a door, something like that. It's really, really good looking. So it looks cel-shaded, a little bit like Borderlands does, is the go-to reference, I suppose. But it's an incredibly handsome game. The animation is smooth. The character art is really, really charming and engaging. Frame rate's incredibly high. And control-wise, it's really easy to pick up. Not only do you just move up, down, left, and right very naturally using a kind of D-pad on the left-hand side of the screen, you rotate the camera by flicking the bottom right-hand corner. So you've got an interaction button on the bottom right-hand corner you can press, but if you just swipe your thumb left or right, it will rotate the camera 90 degrees, which is a control that could be rubbish. Like, I've seen this in other games where you try and move the camera around. Even on things like the XCOM game that was released, where you have to put two fingers on the screen in order to rotate the camera, and it can be a bit awkward and a bit sticky, and sometimes it doesn't register. This is smooth as you like. I picked it up, and within like 2 seconds nailed the controls, and you know, had no problems, wasn't really doing anything accidentally. It was fantastic. It was like so instinctive. I was really impressed. The puzzles themselves are initially you're kind of like working out how to do it, and it eases you in gently. But I already came up against one within the first 20 minutes, which kind of tested me a bit and took me about 5 minutes to get my head around. And then once I did work it out, I was like, yes, air grab, confetti explosions, and I was really happy with myself. And whilst you're doing this, you're encountering characters. So, for example, there's a missile, a pink missile that is a girl who you talk to. There are these dancing robots, like I mentioned, who are always having conversations. And at the end of my little walkthrough, I stumble across the actual disco they're having, complete with their disco balls and everything. It's just bags of character. Really slick controls. Really fun to play. I haven't completed it yet, obviously, and we'll have a review up shortly. But I think it's going to be positive, unless it takes some kind of terrible nosedive. It's the game I've been most excited about this week. It's called Clark, that's C-L-A-R-C, all kind of uppercase like Wally or something. And you can get it right now. I think it's £2.49. Actually, let me just check that before I lie. Yeah, no, it's £2.99 or $4.99. But the quality's there. I reckon if you're interested, go get it. But check out the preview thing we've got on AppSpy as well. And also look for the review on Pocket Gamer when it's out. Which leaves us with Keith, who I understand has played an actual game with his man hands.
Yeah, my man hands.
Yeah.
I've played a game that none of you will ever have heard of, called Threes.
Wow. Is this what you've been doing with your plane journeys?
Do you know what's interesting? I'm not going to recount to people what Threes is, because I think everyone knows what Threes is. Threes is sounds funny. I was at the Pocket Gamer party in San Francisco.
Oh, yeah.
And a developer I know came up and described to me how they'd made, by their own admission, a Threes clone.
Is this 2048 on Android?
No, well, there are several thousand Threes clones.
There are now. It's the new Flappy Bird.
So it's not that, but yeah, it's a clone. And it admittedly a clone. And the justification was that they wanted to do one that was free. There were lots of people who aren't buying Threes because you have to pay. Mm. But it's interesting because in a very similar way to Flappy Bird, and how it seems so simplistic, Three seems, from a structure point of view, if you were making it, seems very simple to do.
Hmm.
But actually, when you play the clones, you realise that I'm quite terrible at Threes, but the clones I've played, I'm really quite good at. So there is something different there, because I'm getting really high scores on some of the clones. And then on Threes, I don't think I've got above 1,000 yet. So it's interesting that it further perpetuates this notion that these things that we think are simple, actually, when you try and replicate them, you realise actually they're really rather clever and hard.
There's some alchemy going on in there, isn't it?
It's weird. And when I'm playing it, I keep having these little spells where I'm keeping the board nice and empty and everything's matching up with every mood and the numbers are getting bigger and I'm thinking I'm on top of this. I'm not entirely sure why. And then when I actually start to think about it and play more strategically, I get worse. It's strange. It seems to be the impulse ones are the ones that pay off with me. I don't know whether that's just me and everyone else is the reason why they're getting better scores is because they're thinking more about it than I am. But
it's like Ronnie O'Sullivan plays snooker, apparently. I was watching a thing yesterday and he said if he plays for one ball, so if whenever he takes a shot and then tries to roll back onto a specific just one ball, he started playing like that and completely messed everything up. Whereas if he just kind of shoots instinctively and then leaves himself open for a bunch of shots, he gets the 147s and absolutely nails it. He said as soon as he started really thinking about just the one next move, he lost it.
It's interesting, isn't it? You wouldn't think you could play snooker that way, would you? But,
yeah.
But I can see why the thing that Threes has, as well as the way that it appears to be structured to be more hard than at least these clones have played, it's also presentation. It's a very savvy looking thing.
It is, isn't it? I mean, even right down to the fact that the numbers, the blocks have little faces at the bottom.
Yeah.
And they're their own little characters which get introduced when you hit high school.
Yeah, some of those introductions are the kind of things I would write that great nonsense that make me laugh.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I resisted playing it for a long, long time because, again, it was one of these stupid games that everyone was playing, and I thought, I don't want to be the same as the rest of the world.
You like to avoid the zeitgeist, don't you?
I want to be different. I don't want to play it, everyone's saying. And actually, I think I said before that the scores people were posting are so intimidating that I thought, I don't want to because I'm going to be terrible.
Yeah.
And it's only going to end badly, which it is. but, yeah, I can see why it's drawn such a crowd. And it's strange you would think someone had done this before because it really is, it's almost like a kind of card game simple. It's just a logic to it that you would have thought that would have been snapped up by someone previously, but to my knowledge has not.
Yeah.
And so kudos to them for it. How they'll be impacted by the clones, I don't know, but they can at least say that theirs is the best of them out there.
The original remains the quality product.
Yeah, and you know, there's something quite nice about that, isn't there? Do you think? I think it's quite...
Yeah. I mean, I didn't play it for that long. I captured it for videos and stuff, but it was one of those things where you pick up and after a few seconds, you get it. Which is the thing that everyone always says, it's a hook that you immediately pick up, but then you have to try and like work out the subtleties of how to get a high score, and that's the challenge. That's where the game really lies.
If I try to explain it to someone, it sounds terrible. I can't actually explain it properly.
It's adding numbers and that. So you would probably recommend it to people then? The original, anyway.
Oh, yes. No, it's a very good... I would call this a train game. I play this on the train.
Ah.
One's never enough.
That's true. It's quite Moorish, isn't it?
Mm.
Yeah, right.
Even though I'm rubbish.
That's all right. You're a glutton for punishment.
Do you know what? This is the moment here. I've just beaten my score while talking about it.
That's because you weren't focusing on it.
Exactly.
That's the trick.
3,477. It's like Children in Need, isn't it? It's the total that's going up.
That's all right. So at midnight tonight, when you're dancing to Kylie, make sure you're also playing threes with one hand.
And Flappy Bird with the other one.
Exactly. Yeah. Guaranteed high scores.
I will beat them both.
Fantastic. And on that epiphany, we will lay the podcast to rest. Thanks for joining us, guys. Tune in next week. More mobile chatter, as always. And let us know, incidentally, if you want another one of them video podcasts, because we got a bunch of feedback that was very positive, and we're considering maybe doing one again in the future sometime.
No.
Maybe getting you involved, Keith.
Oh, okay.
Because we know how much you love being on film.
Let's say, for example, I was a viewer / listener. How would you want me, James, to get in touch and let us know whether or not something to do with... I got really confused then because
I couldn't
remember who I was.
Well,
ideally,
you can either send a note via Carrier Pigeon or Crow. Okay. You can write it crop circle styly in the middle of a kind of field of wheat. Or if you're a bluff old traditionalist, you can write to podcast@pocketgamer.co.uk.
I think it'd be far better to turn up at James's house, and I'm going to put the address on the comments section for this podcast when this goes up tomorrow.
Yeah, go for it. Oh, the comments section, that's a good idea as well. Chuck it in there.
Oh, yeah, all right. Everywhere, anywhere.
Whatever.
Just get it involved.
To us.
Like, yeah.
Come on walls in Bristol.
And then take a picture and then be like, hashtag.
You'd be the new Banksy, only shit. All right, thanks for listening, guys. Bye.
Bye.